For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. Okay, Parshas Vayera. So I'd like to do one of the first Rashis in the Parsha. I was really looking for Ramban. We did two Morals already, so I was looking for Ramban. I had trouble finding one that I thought fit what we were trying to do, so I put it on hold. I found the Moral much easier, and Mirtz Hashem, we'll get to our Ramban soon, for those who are hoping to really switch off, as I was, but we'll get there. We'll get there. Another Moral for tonight. The Parsha begins this week, if you're familiar with, Vayera, Elov, Hashem, Be'elunei, Mamre. We're coming right off of the Bris Milah at the end of last week's Parsha. Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem gives Avram Avinu the mitzvah of Bris Milah. He is 99 years old. And he is recovering. Immediately following that, our parsha begins. Vayera Elav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre. Hashem appeared to him in the plains of Mamre. Vuhu Yoshev Tatzach Ha'ol Kechoyim Hayom. And he was sitting at the entrance of the tent Kechoyim Hayom. The problem with this pasuk, as you have hinted at, as you have a little underlined portion of the pasuk, is the Torah tells us exactly where this takes place. Now, there are many revelations that Hashem has with the Avos, with Avraham, with Yitzchak, with Yaakov, and we're not necessarily told where they are. It's an irrelevant piece of information. What difference does it make exactly where Avraham was when Hashem appears to him? Not only does it seem to be an irrelevant piece of information, but we already know where Avraham lives. The Torah told us a parsha or two ago that Avraham lived in Elonei Mamre. We know that's where his home was. We can assume that's where he had the commandment to have the Bris Milah. He does the Bris Milah on himself, on his family. That's where he's going to recover. We would have guessed that's where he was. And it doesn't make a difference where he was. So whenever the Torah tells us what would seem to be an irrelevant piece of information, we're going to have Rashi comment as to why do we need to know that he's in the plains of Mamre. Says Rashi, Be'elonei Mamre, Hu shenasan lo eitza al hamila. Mamre was one of Avram's three buddies. He had three friends, Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. We're going to read about them in a moment. Mamre was one of his friends. And Mamre, says Rashi, gave him an eitza, gave him advice, Al-Hamila. Mamre gave Avram advice on the Bris Milah. Lefikach nigla alav b'chelko. And therefore Hashem revealed himself to Avram when Avram was recovering from the Bris Milah in the Chelek, in the portion of land that belonged to Mamre. And the Torah wants to stress that. The revelation happened ve'elonei Mamre because Mamre gave Avram Eitza. He gave him advice to perform the Milah. What is Rashi referring to? So let's take a look at the Medrash inside. The Medrash is on your other sheet of paper, printed off of the Bar Ilan, Medrash Rabbah. Starting from the bottom, you see there's those little brackets at the end. The Medrash says as follows, Bisho'a, Sha'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaAvraham Limol. At the moment, the time that Hashem spoke to Avram and told him, you need to perform a Bris Milah, Halach v'nimlach begimol oyhavav. He went and sought advice. He went to speak to. He was nimlach. He spoke with his three friends. So Avram has a ktzivoy. Hears from the Ribbono Shel Olam Bris Milah. And what does he do? What's his first step after hearing the ktzivoy of Bris Milah? He goes to talk it over with his three friends. Omar lo aner. Kfar ben kuf shana ata. Avram, you're 100 years old. You're going to go and cause yourself so much pain, so much tsar. How could you do this? This is already beyond. You're not at an age to perform Bris Milah. It's for little 8-day-old babies. It's not for a man like you. It says on there, don't do it. What are you going and marking yourself amongst your enemies? You're going to distinguish yourself. Here you are. Different people understand this line a little differently. You're trying to encourage the world into follow the God that you believe in. You're going to look totally different. You're desecrating, you're defamating your body. Why would you do something like that? So don't bother, don't distinguish yourself, mark yourself. Don't do it, says Eshkol to Avraham. Omer lo Mamre. I don't know, he says, Elokecha she'amad locha b'kivshon ha'esh. Your God, which stood by your side in the fiery furnace, Uvim Malachim, and in the war of the four kings and the five kings, Uvir Avon, and during the famine that when you landed in Eretz Yisrael and there was a famine and you had to leave to Mitzrayim, that God who stood by you through all of those things, You're not going to listen to him for this. He's been with you for all of those things. Through famine, he's been with you through war, in the fiery furnace. How could you not listen to him here? So says Namre, you got to do it. I don't know. How could he not listen at this point? You gave Avraham the Eitzah to perform the Bris Milah. Chayecha on your life, she'eini nigla alav. I will not reveal myself to Avram as he recovers. Lo bepalton shel aner, not in the portion of aner. Lo bepalton shel eshkol, not by eshkol. Elo bepalton shel cha, only in your portion, as the pasuk says. Vayiro elav Hashem beilonei mamre. So this is the medrash that Rashi is quoting. Mamre, who gave the eitzah to Avram on the milah. Therefore, the Torah stresses, where does the revelation take place? The Gilui takes place in Elonei Mamre. The obvious problem with this whole Medrash and Rashi is, Avraham, he wasn't sure. he gets a Tzivoy Bris Milah. The Medrash says, what does he do? He speaks to his three buddies. Two of the buddies said, forget it. It's crazy. You're too old. Why would you do this to yourself? You're going to publicly ruin yourself. And Mamre says, I don't know. I mean, he's been with you through all these times. Why would you not do it? To that, Hashem says, oh, Mamre, you gave him the Eitzah. I'm going to reveal myself in your Chelek. And Avraham was thinking what? Otherwise. That's the problem with this. That goes.
I thought he was just really asking advice on how to do it. Not so, necessarily questioning doing it.
So, you're giving one of many interpretations to answer this question. Now, the Medrash says he was Nimlach. He asked, At the end of the Medrash, did Mamre tell him how to do it or to do it?
To do it.
Right? The first two fellows said, don't. Mamre says, do it. Hashem says, Atonasato lo Eitza limo. You gave him the Eitza to do the Mila. I'm going to reveal myself in your Chelek. So it's a strange Medrash. Avram is asking for this piece of advice. So the Mizrahi asks this question, like one of the major Mefarshim on Rashi. He gives a bunch of answers. We'll see the Maral. The Maral has two answers which are, I think, fascinating and worth sharing. The Mizrahi, just for example, who asks the question, the Maral, if you take a look back in your Maral sheet, Ois Gimel, who knows the Leo Eitz Alamila, the Maral's question, V'teima she'avram yivakesh Eitz al hamila. He asks the question simply, V'teima. That Avram would ask advice on the Mila. Avram, who's going to go through the Akeda at the end of this week's Parsha, Avram was in the Kibshon Na'esh, Avram who leaves his home, what is he asking advice for? So the Mizrahi gives two answers when he asks this question. He says, number one, he was testing his buddies to see if they're really his friends. You know, they've been with him this whole time. Let me find out what happens when I ask them if I should do this, see if they're really with me or not. That was one approach that he has, that he was just testing. The second approach that the Mizrahi takes is that Avram expected all of them to say no. And then he wanted Bedavka, after they all said no, he wanted to do it to increase Kvod Shemayim, that against the advice of everybody, he went ahead. And those are his answers. Let's take a look at how the Maral addresses this problem. Says Maral, answer number one, V'nir Eloimar. It shouldn't be that anybody says that Avraham goes ahead and does this, and he did it without asking advice from anyone. What would be had he done it? What would be if he did it and he didn't speak to anybody? He didn't consult, he didn't ask, he just did it on his own. What's the problem? Says the Maral, because people would say, Ilu haya shoyal etza, had he actually asked, and people would have given him all the good reasons why he shouldn't do it, he would have listened, he wouldn't have done it. And everybody would have said, he only did it because no one bothered to give him the good reasons not to do it. But if somebody would have countered the Ribbono Shel Olam with a good reason, Avram would have listened. It's just that nobody was there. So Avram didn't want that. He didn't want people talking that he only did it because nobody gave him a good reason not to. And therefore Avraham asked. He heard all of their reasons. He might have been expecting them all to say no, but he wanted to hear what they had to say. And then he went ahead with the milah. And now the whole world can say, he asked, he heard the words of those who said not to do it. And still he did it. V'lo yuchlu lomar shehimimu HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'lo yoda Avram alasos. That Hashem confused him or rushed him. And that's really what Avram was against. He didn't want anyone to say he was bibahala. He was disconcerted. He wasn't able to think straight. Imagine you get a tzivut from the Ribbono Shel Olam that says, perform a bris milah. You're like, okay, I got to do it. So in order to make sure that no one would say, he wasn't able to think rationally about it.
Why is that not relevant to other things?
So says the Maral, there's another very important place where we see this exact idea later in this week's parasha. From the time that Hashem tells Avraham to shecht his son Yitzchak, to bring him as an ola, how many days does it take until he gets to the Har HaMoriah? 3 days. It takes 3 days to get there. Rashi says, and Maral quotes, why did Hashem give him a tzibur 3 days away from the place where he needed to be? Rashi says the exact same thing. This is the big deal that Avram is about to go through. He's about to shecht his son. He's about to put all of Jewish history on the line and to say, this makes no sense. I don't know how this is going to work, and I'm going to do it anyway. But it shouldn't be that that's done without a sound body and mind. Because then it's meaningless. So how do you make sure that a human being is of sound body and mind? Give them time. When we hear things, at first, we're lost. We're distracted. We're confused. We're not able to think straight. So Hashem says to Avram, I want you to take 3 days. Get from here until the place that I'll show you. And he walked, and he walked, and he walked. And he's no idea where he's going, but he's walking. And what's he doing the whole time that he's walking? He's working this through. He's thinking it out. I'm going to do this. I'm taking my son. I'm going to kill him. That doesn't make any sense. How could I need to do that. And he's working through this conversation. It says Rashi, so that when he does it, he's doing it with total, complete sound body and mind. Says Maral, Avram now gets a tzivoy of Mila, and he knows people are going to say he's crazy. And he doesn't want anyone to say that he's doing it because he didn't have a chance to think about it. So he says, let me ask. I'll take out, the first thing he does, he speaks to his friends, because he was doubting that he was going to do it. Says Maral, of course not, he was going to do it. But he doesn't want anyone to say that he wasn't able to think about it. Says Maral, just read it inside. That's what we find later on in the parsha. By the Akedah, Vayi Vayom Ashlishi, Vayi Sa'ino Vayar. It was on the third day. Avraham lifts up his eyes and he sees. Shelo Yom Rohimimu Ve'irvavu Kidulakaman. And no one should say he was confused and discombobulated, as we'll see later on. You see in note number 16, Rav Harman brings Rashi's language from later on in the parsha. Vayom Ashlishi, Lama Ichar Milaharosu Meyad. Why did Hashem delay from showing him right away? That it was sudden, the Taraf Daito, and his mind was confused. Had he had the time to think about it, therefore he asked his buddies. He asked his buddies so that everybody would realize he's thought about it. He's heard the answers, he's heard the advice, and he's going to do it anyway. Lesson for all of us, which doesn't need to be stated, but it's worth mentioning, we often are, that's what happens. You hear something right away, and the bottom line is, we are irvavu, we're confused, we're discombobulated, there's too much going on at one time, and the Eitzah always is, like, pull back. If you can't, you can't, but most of the time we can. And just don't make a rash decision, because in the same way as Avram said, my nisyonis will be meaningless. Everyone's going to say, yeah, of course, if the Baruch Shem came to me, I would, blah, 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 whatever. But it needs to be, I thought about it, and I did it because there was a tzivoy, not because I was not able to think about it. So Avram asks for advice in order to be able to do it in a way that he wants to do it. Says Maral, that's answer number one. Why is he asking his buddies? And as a result of the fact that Mamre actually said, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam told you to do it, you should do it. Therefore, as a zchus to him, Hashem reveals his presence in Avram's, in his chelik. Says Maral, Odiyesh Lefash. I have another explanation why Avram is asking for advice. Odiyesh Lefarish. Shripnesha, Oner Eshkol Umamre, Hayubali Bris Avraham. They were colleagues. They had a bris together, not a formal pact, they were buddies. And when you have a bris, when you have a covenant between friends, derech balei bris shelo yaaseh ha'echad shum davar b'lo das chavero. One member of a group, of a party, of an intimate party, of group of people, doesn't do something without asking, without the das of his colleagues. You ask him, you consult. And says the morale, the line, this is the most magnificent line in all of human interactions when it comes to people who have a bris amongst each other. It certainly applies within a marriage where there's a bris between spouses, within colleagues at work, parents, children. There are relationships that we have that we would classify as my bris. I have a covenant, I have a pact with this person. So it says the morale, when you have a bris, you have to ask. You don't do things without asking. And it's offensive. Like, I thought you just... You didn't? You? What? Where? How? There's... like, you ever heard that kind of conversation where it doesn't even, like, I don't know what to say. Like, how could you have done that and not asked? We were partners in this endeavor. We're business partners. We're teammates. We're working together on the same committee, whatever. You have to ask. Says the Maral. Not because I have to listen to what my friend says. I don't have to listen. And in fact, I have no intention of listening. Because this is what I need to do. And even when I have no intention, Avram says, I have achieved it from the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm going to do it. But I'm going to talk to you about it. I'm going to ask. Because we're Bali Bris. I don't care what you guys are going to say. You might all come out unanimously not to do it. You might say to do it. It doesn't matter, but that's not why I'm asking you. Because there's a level of human interaction that says, when we are partners, we communicate about things. And when I do things without asking you, it's a disruption of the bris that exists between us. So says the morale, I don't have to listen to you. Very often I'm like, I don't want to ask because I'm afraid of what they're going to say. And that's not the point. I'm not going to listen to you. But I ask anyway because that's what partners do in a relationship. Elashein Rishai Lasos Belo Daito. I don't have permission to act without your das. The Acher Kach Yaseh Mashi Yirtze. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But I need to bring you into the equation. I need you to know that I care, that I recognize that we're partners, and when I do things without talking to you, it's offensive, and it shows that I really am not a partner with you. So I ask, and sometimes I'm going to say, thank you for the advice, I'm not going to follow it. But we've established ourselves as Ba'alei Bris when we do that. Therefore he needed to ask, the hashta lo havi dover neged kvod hamakom. Therefore, you say, this is a, the Rebbe Shem says something, and you go, ask your buddy? How could you do that? Says, there's nothing to negate the Kavod HaMakom. Achar Shehachiyuv Mitzad HaBris. The Chiyuv to ask wasn't because I'm not sure what to do. The Chiyuv to ask is because we are partners. And when we're buddies and partners, I ask. And when I borrow the language, the farmer brings in the bottom, an interesting example of this. It's in note 17. He's only quoting the one line. The background is when Yaakov returns from living with Laban for 20 years. So he sends gifts to, well, before he sends gifts to his brother Esav, first he sends a malach. He sends a message to his brother and he says, I've lived with in Laban Garti ve'echar arato. I've been with him for 20 years. I now look, hayelitzonu bokar, eved v'shu. Okay, I have all these things. And why? Kidei limtso chein ve'inecha, he says. Why am I telling you this? Why am I telling you that I've lived with Lavan? Why am I telling you that I've delayed all these years? And why am I telling you that I've become wealthy? To find favor in your eyes. So I'm going to first try to figure out, why is telling Esav how wealthy he's become and how long he spent at Lavan's house going to find favor in Esav's eyes? How does that work? Just, I'm wealthy, so therefore you're going to like me? Esav has a lot of stuff already. Someone else says, after he quotes all these mefarshim, and he says, at the end of the day, I want to find favor in your eyes, so I'm telling you about what I've done with myself. I want you to know where I've been. I want you to know where I've lived for 20 years. I want you to know what's happened to me. I want you to know what I've become. Because, as he quotes in 17, Derech ha'oyavim shemodim zelaze in yeneim. People who like each other, people who are oyavim, tell each other what's going on in their lives. And the Moral puts that into a very difficult pasuk. Yaakov says, "Linsochein beinecha, I've become rich. I've been there for 20 years." So he just wants to kindle a friendship. And he wants to tell Esav, this is what's going on. What's going on with you? Where have you been for 20 years? And it's simply because oyhavim talk. They communicate and they don't do things without sharing it with someone else. And he brings another example, which we're going to find also in this week's parsha. Before Hashem destroys Sodom, what does he say? Eichani mechasem Avram. How can I not tell Avram? How can I tell him? I need to destroy them. I'm going to do it anyway. I know that there are no tzaddikim there. I know it's going to be destroyed. How could I not tell him? Because that's kiyadativ. Because I know him, I love him, and he's going to be mitzaveh as beso in my derech. I have to let him know. And it's simply an approach. And Maral sees that in this opening Rashi, Be'ilonei Mamre. Why does the Torah need to tell us those in Mamre's chelek? Because Avram asked him Eitzah, and he gave him a good Eitzah. So this, what's Avram asking Eitzah for? Because that's what people do. That's how people communicate. I don't have to listen. Ein mechuyav l'shmoyalo. I don't have to listen, but I have to tell you. And there, Avram is teaching us that. Avram teaches us that by asking his three colleagues. When the Ribbono Shel Olam asks him to do something, is mitzav him to do something, and Avram says, absolutely, but I need to speak to my friends about this. Not because I'm going to listen, because that's what I do. So says Morale, yeah.
Okay, so he didn't talk to Sarah about the Akedah.
Okay. You mean this should apply to his wife?
That's it. It has to apply to him. Like, if you have a breast with somebody, like, you're disgusting, and she ultimately died because, you know, the first talk about the fact that she didn't know about Akedah. So
why is he talking to his three buddies, not his wife, Sarah? That's a good question. I don't know if maybe it was.
He didn't.
He knew that.
Did he talk to them about the Akedah?
She almost died because she was afraid he wasn't going to go through with it.
Yeah, but the beginning of
Chayim. Yeah, Rashi quotes that at the end of the Parsha on the way back.
They talked about that she saw, like, you know, she saw what he was doing, and that, and she, out of shock, they killed her. Right.
Not sure. Good question.
Did he share? He didn't even share it with Yitzchak. He didn't talk to anybody.
No, certainly not. No, Yitzchak didn't know until all the way up there. Yeah.
Things were going to be affecting Sarah and Yitzchak, and this is not going to really affect.
Certainly possible, also. Good question. I'm not sure how we have to find the chilek as to why that was not relevant to her, because it was going to impact her. Maybe.
Or share with any of his friends. I'm going to go kill my son that I begged for so many years to have. And he didn't share it with anyone.
They weren't around.
Yeah, 37 years later, so maybe they weren't around. I don't know.
Just how she showed us the way of man, that when we do something, and that we don't have to listen, sometimes we have a need to vent. Is Hashem showing that as a path as to teach us too?
Well, this isn't vent. This is that might be true, but that's not here.
It's more than venting, but it's like a mirror imaging what I'm trying to say and get back.
That's the Merle's first answer. The Merle's first answer is it needs to be out there so that it can be thought out. I could hear all the answers, and I can do it in a way that's clear that I'm doing it because I want to. That's his first approach. And that you do need to process. That's the reality. The first answer, says the Merle, is if you do things right away, it's something is lost because you're not doing it with Yishuv Hadas. And Yishuv Hadas is a tremendous value. So his first answer is, yeah, he spoke it out so they could process, they could talk it out, and he could say, I'm doing it. And the second answer is simply, I have to tell you. How could I do something without telling you?
But the contrast is what they just brought up. It doesn't hold a path. It doesn't reach a sequence of repetitive behavior. Yitzhak's part and in Sarah.
Okay, so we have another incident where it does another.
Another underlying something there, yes?
You're not supposed to be rushed. And Yitzhak shouldn't have been rushed. He was 37. When all of a sudden they say, okay, lay down, you're going to be shackled.
But even that wasn't rushed, because Rashi makes it clear that he knew already halfway up the mountain. Vayelach shneihem yachlev, and they continued. Not 3 days, but they continued.
He doesn't have a chance to do that.
They continued. Yeah, listen, you can't. I wanted to. You're not going to be able to find, you know, every incident where I wanted to present.
Paro has three advisors.
Correct. Also,
he wanted to do anyway, and Eel has three friends. And he went through his own route anyway.
Yeah, it's good to have a cadre of buddies. 100%. You do see that pattern.